were gone, I'd worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom.
Yeah, baby.
And they can't take that away.
Not if we don't let them.
And I'm proud to be an American.
That's what I was waiting for. Proud to be an American.
Almost tears you up, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. Kind of choking up here.
One of our listeners has already called in, Tony, and he's like, yeah, I love it. I love it. I just don't love our politicians from any level, from city up to federal.
It's tough times. Hey, if you want to give yourself a little education and you have some holes in your knowledge of the Constitution, go to constitutionfacts.com. I have put it on our Facebook page. It's got great things, little pamphlets you can get to kind of educate yourself, but it's got some fun quizzes you can take to find out who you would vote for if you'd lived back then, and who you would be if you had lived back then. And so great for yourself, great for your grandkids, great thing to do over the weekend.
Which one of the founding fathers are you?
George Washington.
You're George Washington?
I am.
You are, really?
That's what it said.
Huh.
Well,
I would not be George Washington. He was too in favor of a strong federal
position.
Well,
I took it three times just to see.
Romy,
because
have you taken
actually learned.
I did.
But
who are you? You know, before I answer, the ones about the history facts, I liked those. Mm-hmm. The ones about who you would be, sometimes you're given four or five options and you get done, you're like, well, I'm really none of those.
That's right.
So,
right.
But at the end of it all, I was Ben Franklin. Not only as who I would be, but also who I would vote for. On both of those, I got Ben Franklin.
Well, then you know your stuff. Yeah, I changed it just to
kind
see.
Kind of a scoundrel in a lot of ways, wasn't it?
Well, that's why I said, I saw that. It's like,
that's not my son.
But they ask no questions about that kind of
I have good friends
behavior.
Going to Philadelphia. They've never been there before. And I said, look, you can go see Independence Hall. You can go see Liberty Bell. But you've got to go see the Ben Franklin Museum. It's absolutely incredible. But Ben Franklin was kind of a scoundrel in some ways.
Let me repeat that again. They didn't ask any social questions on that test.
Well, Jennifer was George Washington. I was Betsy Ross.
No,
Ben Franklin. What can you tell us about Ben Franklin?
Well, Franklin, of course, was an inventor. He was a politician.
Amazing mind.
Just a very creative person.
And
he's the oldest signer of the Declaration of Independence.
I didn't know it. Now, how would you know his age?
He's 75 when he signed.
He's 75 when he signs.
He also, remember, during the war, he goes off to Paris to help negotiate the support that
on a fundraising campaign, right?
Give us money. And, of course, you know, Paris is not a bad place to be during wartime in the Americas.
Yeah.
And also, what's interesting is that he actually was part of a group that came up with the plan of Albany. It was an idea that, hey, maybe if something's going to happen, maybe we should figure out how we should work together as colonies. That was back in the 1750s when they were kind of talking about maybe we should have some sort of unifying document all the way back then. And he was really kind of part of that, masterminding that kind of idea.
Okay, well, I took you down a bunny trail on Ben Franklin. We wanted to really talk about the Declaration of Independence today. Really a very short, concise little document.
Yeah,
for all that it has ushered in.
Yeah, it's really three parts. If you want to, folks at home want to get out their Dunlap broadside and number the different grievances. There are 27. You could write your little numbers along the side of your copy. There's only 26 of those, by the way, still left. And then, of course, there's three parts. There's the preamble, which articulates the ideology, the John Locke, the Thomas Hobbes ideas of social contract, of the idea of we have these inalienable rights given to us by a creator. He talks about in here the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That happiness is the right to work hard and take the fruits of that labor in your wage, and then do with it as you please. Buy property, buy an estate, go spend it on wine, women, and song, whatever you want to do that makes you happy. That's your right to do so because you've worked hard for it. And the government needs to protect those rights. And when the government fails to do so, you have a right, or the people have a right, to band together to throw off that government. And then the third part, after the grievances, is the legal part that basically says we are now a little country. We've given you the reason why we're going away. our own way, and here's what we can do now. We can make war, and we can govern our own people, and we can pass laws, and we can be on the international stage, and you're going to have to recognize us as everybody else will. That's our declaration of our independence, and that's really in that third part of the things.
Is this delivered by fax?
There's a committee that was put together. Jefferson is primarily the writer, but there are several others that contribute to this. In fact, during those 2 days between July 2nd and July 4th, when Congress is, of course, debating over their own edits, Jefferson was just on pins and needles. He's like, stop changing my words. So he was not really happy with Congress making a couple of tweaks to his document. But it does go to the whole debate of the Continental Congress body before it's actually approved on the 4th.
When do you think the king first sees it?
If they sign the document in August and it gets mailed off, it's got to go overseas. So he probably, if he saw it at all.
Now, is it it's not a delegation of founding fathers that delivers this?
Well, this is not the first time that they've communicated with the king. There were several times where there were grievances, there were issues that come up. The committees of correspondence had come together and written some letters to the king and to the parliament saying, hey, we don't really like what's going on. And some of those were delivered by people. Others were just sent over. They had a process to do so. But this document goes over there and they're like, hey, we're going our own way now.
You wouldn't want to be the one to hand this to the king?
Yeah.
Off here
you
your
go.
Head.
Here you go and run. Knock, knock, leave it in a paper bag and run, you know.
Is that where the term don't shoot the messenger came from?
Probably a little earlier in the war world, but yeah, that's probably the same idea.
Well, it'd be interesting to be a fly on the wall when the document is delivered to the king. How is it received? What is his reaction? He's got to think, wow. Now I have to go swat these little babies and bring them back in line.
Sort of. King George III was a little off his rocker.
Oh.
He was a little bonkers. He had episodes, so they're not sure at times when he was actually knew what color the sky was.
Oh, then we've got to go to his league of generals and see what their position was, because they obviously thought they could come over here and whip us pretty easy. We're here with Dr. David Dean, history professor from Grand Canyon University, diving in to the Declaration of Independence. Don't miss a minute.